The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We welcome in head coach Dan Hurley to the show. And, Coach, it's so great to have you. I've been wanting to meet you for a while, so now we'll do it here on TV.
Let's go, Molly. And I know there's a lot of folks there in Bristol. I know there's a bunch of UConn fans there on campus. And then we got the big fella, Donovan, from Bristol. So let's go.
Yeah, a lot of Connecticut connections.
Coach, it's good to see you, man. Great job this year. I just want to say I expected a far better introduction from Molly because, Lord, she raves about y'all every second. I mean, my Lord. She wants us to be UConn Nation. I mean, my Lord. All she does is talk about UConn. And then she says, hi, I go introducing Coach Hurley. Welcome to the show. I expected more from her, Coach. I did.
I am insufferable. I am. Coach, let me ask you this, though. Okay, so early exits the tourney the last two seasons, but this year is obviously a different deal. And I don't know if you've heard, but here at ESPN, Reese Davis, LaPhonso Ellis, Seth Greenberg, Jay Billis, Stephen A., all have UConn in the Final Four. What's your biggest motivation right now to make a deep run?
Yeah, I just think for us right now, it's the best team that we've had. We had the early exit, last year to a really good New Mexico State team. But, this is an outstanding team. It's a team that I love coaching. I think the motivation is, we want to continue to practice and play games together because we just don't want our season to end. We've obviously got a lot of great components that lead to being able to get on a run, during tournament time. We've got dominant center play. We got guys that can light it up from three. We're an elite defensive team. We rebound the ball, and we're a top five team offensively in terms of efficiency, and we've got depth. And we're 14-0 in non-conference games this year. So, we're a confident team. And we're just happy that we're giving, great UConn fans like Molly, Stephen A., an exciting March. It's been a while since the men's side has given its UConn fans an exciting March. So we're happy to be able to deliver on that so far.
And I love your quotes, Coach, this week. There were a lot of pressure on a UConn men's team to win those first two rounds. And I think you were 100% right after the last couple of years. Listen, this is going to be an interesting game against Arkansas. Here's the question I have for you. I'd like to get off to a little better start. Fortunate there, 17-9 against trailing St. Mary's and in a little trouble. And obviously, Patino in round one had you down by, three at the half, 37-34. You don't want to play that game too much where you need these dominant second halves. How do you play a better first half there tomorrow night in Arkansas against Arkansas in Vegas? Let me get your thoughts on that first.
Yeah, obviously the depth of the team has been, something that's, differentiated us. The fact that when we go to our bench, we can maintain the level or take to another level certainly helps. When you coach or play at UConn, those first round games, even the second round games, they're a little bit suffocating in terms of the pressure. There's an expectation that you're going to be in this position, Sweet 16 or better, every year. It's why we all, come to coach or play here. I've got to get the starting group, ready to really start fast because, you're right. This is a different animal. With Arkansas, they've got, four or five guys that are, likely to be picked in this upcoming draft, mm-hmm. two likely top 10 picks, and a couple of, Council, and Walsh who are also potentially late first, early second round picks. So this is a loaded team. They're athletic, and, we've got to get off to a fast start.
Coach, I want to talk about you for a second because obviously, everybody knows your father and how phenomenal he's been as a coach throughout history. I think the only regret is just to throw myself on the sword, Molly, to embarrass myself on national television. I had to show up to St. Anthony's years ago to give a speech to his, to his players in the program, and I actually got there late because I was stuck in traffic on the New Jersey Turnpike.
I
was stuck in traffic, so you know what I mean? I mean, how
coach,
dare me do
bad.
Such
he's
a thing?
Late to but the
it, really wasn't my fault. I mean, I was really stuck in traffic, but I love the man. Profound respect for him, and I love Bobby Early as well, Bobby Early Jr. as well. But let me ask you this, Dan. When you coach, when you came into this NCAA tournament, what level of pressure were you feeling because of the expectations, UConn's history? I mean, the Jim Calhoun, the Kevin Ollie, and obviously you're there now doing your thing. But coming into this tournament, you hadn't enjoyed any NCAA success since you arrived at UConn. Wanted to know what kind of pressure you were feeling personally, on a personal level, coming into this tournament.
Yeah, a lot. You could, even though, you know, even if you stay off Twitter, you know, your mind is going, you feel it. Like, you know, when, you know, you're kind of under the gun. And, you know, I would say for me, mostly that internal pressure of, you know, when you grow up in the Hurley household and your older brothers, you know, maybe the greatest point guard of all time, obviously Stephen A. and Kamani Young will debate me. It might've been Kenny Anderson, but I'd say it's Bobby Hurley. And your dad is a Hall of Fame coach and an all time great. You know, you're used to being in an environment where there's pressure on you to be exceptional, to perform at a high level. So I like to tell people that, you know, I'm the perfect coach for UConn because, you know, I was raised by wolves in a sense where, you know, the pressure to perform, the pressure to win, you know, it doesn't faze me even a little bit because I'm from Jersey City and I was raised by tough people.
Coach, great job getting Jordan Hawkins on track there in that first game. Second half, made that big four-point play against Iona and got yourself going. He has not scored yet. Sort of the same kind of question I just asked about getting off to a decent first half start. He has not scored yet in either first half. Now, you took him out the other day with the two fouls, which you certainly understand, but he's had and then he gets hot. He goes crazy. He has that stretch where he blows the game away. This is different, tough road trip, Arkansas you just mentioned. He's going to be a first-round pick too. You need to get him some baskets first 7 or 8 minutes. I want to get a little feel on that. How can you do that there on Thursday night? Give me a thought.
Yeah, I mean, for him, it's an adjustment. You know, he's going from, you know, a guy that was our sixth or seventh man last year to, you know, the player that's at the top of the scouting report on the perimeter. You know, and that's a big adjustment. He's still a young player. He's still, you know, physically developing. But, yeah, we're going to need production from him in the first half. Obviously, it's going to be easier for him to have bigger second halves because, you know, the defense of the opponent is going to wear down a little bit. They're going to get tired of chasing him around, and they're going to start to make some mistakes, which then all he needs is a little bit of airspace. There's been very few players that have the type of footwork and could get into the three-point shot full speed as quickly and as beautifully as he can. So, but we're definitely going to need some first-half production because, you know, second halves he's been explosive.
Yeah, before we transition, I want to say shout-out to Sanogo because he's been doing an exceptional job in this tourney, and he's a special player. Coach, you know, I got to ask you this. So Dog's son is a grad assistant, and then Bill Murray's son is a coach on the team. So I'm just wondering, who's the bigger celebrity UConn fan, you think, in your opinion? We saw Bill Murray up there in Albany, or would you go with Christopher Russo?
Oof, put me in a bad spot. You know, Dog's son, Tim, is just, he's a loyal soldier. You know, he's been up since probably 4 o'clock Vegas time, but, you know, but I mean, Bill Murray, tough to beat. Caddyshack, right? I mean,
yeah.
I'm going to go with Dog, though. I'm going to go with Dog.
Danny, baby! Yes, sir!
That was a pity vote.
Yes, sir!
He didn't really mean it.
He
was just trying to make you
feel. Yes, he did.
You're the bigger celebrity fan?
No, but I mean, he knows, though, that I'm there every game.
Caddyshack, you have your own channel.
He's bigger than me, but I'm more invested with the UConn team because I have a son there.
Yes, yeah.
The difference, Molly,
yeah.
Can I just say one thing? The difference is, I think Luke asked his dad after game one to sit back and not be as boisterous to get him off TV. Whereas I think that Dog is like dying for the cameras on him.
Yeah.
You know, I just think that, you know what I mean?
Obviously. Yeah. That makes sense. You know, him, Stephen A, you know, the whole deal, the big dogs.
I got
Coach, I got one more surprise for you before we let you go. I told you, we're all in on there he is.
What's up, man?
Bleed blue, all right? Let's go.
I love it.
Bleed blue.
I love it. Miles, before yeah. like I ask Coach a question, I wanted to, Coach, speaking for myself, a UConn alumni, Miles, a UConn alumni, all the UConn fans, like I mean this, and I've texted you wholeheartedly. When you got the job, I honestly think all of us thought this was the likelihood. Like we hoped that you were the guy that to get UConn basketball back. And just from myself, from all of us, thank you. Because it's so awesome, not only that you guys are back, but you play the way that many of us grew up watching UConn play. Like, mm-hmm. I texted you the other day, the fact that the kids are playing their absolute tails off is the best part of UConn basketball being back. So from all of us, thank you, man. We're rooting.
Thanks, Dan, man. And you know, Dan, it's as you know, these seasons, you know, these 5-6 month seasons, it's not a joyride straight through, right? You know, and I appreciate you, man, throwing out texts of support after, you know, losing a game or two, especially losing two in a row at a place like UConn. I mean, all hell breaks loose, man. It's like Kentucky or the big time places, man. So I appreciate you and the support and you know, and everything.
Can I ask you a question about the bigs real quick? Because I love the bigs. Here's my question. So Sonogo's great, but like from a fan's perspective, what feels like has happened in the tournament is not only that Klingon comes in and spells Sonogo, but also impacts the game while doing so. How big of a difference has that made for the basketball team that not only he's given them minutes, but also like, again, impacting the game? How big has he been?
Well, he just gives you a completely different look. In terms of the way that you play, you know, obviously when Sonogo's in there, you know, he's that guy that we could throw it in the post to, back to the basket score, you know, physical guy. You know, and then when you bring Donovan in, you attack in more of a ball screen and a 7'2" guy rolling to the rim, and then you get this incredible rim protection. You know, so it's like having, right, like the two quarterbacks, right, like the, you know, Lamar Jackson, and then bringing in like my man Joe Burrow, where you get these two totally different types of centers that can, when they're on, they're giving you 30 plus points, 20 plus rebounds, and maybe 4 or 5 blocks combined, and you know, that just devastates the opponent.
Yeah. Mm.
Great question, Dan. Great answer, too. Coach, thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate it. Good luck against Arkansas. We're rooting for you.
I know I've arrived. I've hit the show. Let's go.
Let's go.
Get out of here. Bye, Coach.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
And look who's here to join the debate, the one and only RG3, Robert Griffin III. How are we doing?
Doing great.
I love the spring look. We'll see it more when we get the tight shot, but it's good.
I appreciate that.
Well, there we go.
Hold on for a second.
Yeah, that's great.
It's always good to see you, RG. You know that. But you do understand there's a responsibility that comes with sitting in that chair. You do understand that, right? I understand that.
Okay. You got to make sure your fashion is all good.
As long as we know.
Okay. Got to make sure the collar's good, too, right?
Okay, right. That's right. The collar. Check it out. That's right. That's right.
Looking good.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm trying.
Yeah, the collar looks good today, Stephen A. I forgot to say that earlier.
One now. Well, now we know. Listen, we know there's levels to this. Okay, we understand.
Okay.
And I'm not even worried about it. You know.
All right, I have a quick take.
Yes.
I have a quick take. Sorry, just trying to give you a compliment. It's all good. Cam Newton thrown in front of scouts at Auburn's Pro Day yesterday on his quest to get back to the league. He threw more than 30 passes to several NFL hopefuls, including Auburn wide receiver Shedrick Jackson. RG3, do you think there's still a place for Cam in the NFL?
Yeah, there's still a place for Cam Newton in the NFL. I think his point of there aren't 32 motherfuckers out there making better chocolate than he is true. The problem with Cam Newton and other guys like Colin Kaepernick is the reason we love them is also the reason why they're not in the league. They're special, unique players that play the game in a special way, so the offense has to be built around them. It takes time for the schemers to make sure that they have the proper tools around them to be successful. And then these guys have such big personalities that they're not suited to be backup quarterbacks because they can threaten your starter. So if you're talking about Cam Newton or Colin Kaepernick and should they be in the league, yes, by their skill, they're worthy of being one of 64 for dang sure. The bottom line is, unless they are willing to lower their personality and come in and be backup quarterbacks, there's not going to be a place for them.
Top of the heap quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers and Lamar Jackson. Watch, that continues. No recent movement on these deals getting inked. Dog, I'll start with you here. Do you think Rodgers or Lamar would give you a better shot at a Super Bowl?
Well, listen, I don't like the way Rodgers finished the year last year with Detroit, and I certainly didn't like the game against San Francisco and the Tampa the last couple years. So I don't have as much confidence in him now in a huge game as I did, say, 4 or 5 years ago. But listen, if you're going to sit there and tell me right now, would I rather have Aaron Rodgers be my quarterback in a game I have to have at the end of the year in January or Lamar Jackson, I got to go with the body of work. So I have to take the guy who's won a Super Bowl, won a million playoff games, throws the ball out of the pocket. He can bother me. But I have to be fair about it as a sports fan. Yes, I mean, I know he's 40, 39. You still take Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback in that
spot.
Well,
who the hell doesn't bother you? I mean, it still bothers me. I mean, who doesn't? I mean, everybody bothers you. But go ahead, RG. I mean, he's acting like it's an aberration for him to be bothered when everything bothers him.
His best – I love his remark last week. He don't want anybody to get paid. That was a great one. That was funny. You were funny. That was an actual funny stuff from you.
We literally have a segment where you tell us why you're mad.
Yeah,
weekly segment.
His name is Mad Dog.
Which is a hit.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
Which is a hit. A hit about why he's mad.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Where are you on this in terms of who gives you a better shot at winning a Super Bowl, Rodgers or Lamar?
Yeah, I mean, I think, guys, come on, we got to be honest with ourselves here. Whether it's 1 year or 5 years, Lamar Jackson gives you the best chance to win. The reason the Jets are going after Aaron Rodgers is because it's Super Bowl or bust, not just for Rodgers, but also for this staff. They know, hey, we got Nathaniel Hackett. If we bring in Aaron Rodgers, it's going to bring a lot of fanfare, and we can try to go for it for 1 year. And that, to me, is the problem. With Rodgers, it's one, maybe 2 years of success, possibly. But with Lamar Jackson, you get 5 to 10 years of opportunities. And if the Packers are saying they want a first-round pick, you might as well just go give 2 first-round picks to the Ravens, bring in Lamar Jackson, and you're going to pay him just about as much, maybe a little more than you're paying Aaron Rodgers anyway. So for me, it's Lamar Jackson. He can do things at the quarterback position that no one else can, and he can mask your issues as a team in a way that no other player in the league can. He did it in 2021 with the Ravens, had them as the number one seed with little offensive line help, his top three running backs out, and they were banged up to the wazoo. They were the number one seed going into week 12. That is what Lamar Jackson can do for you. Anything that Rodgers can do, he can do it better, and he's younger.
First of all, with all due respect, that is utterly ridiculous. He cannot throw the football. He cannot throw the football better than Aaron Rodgers. Now you're going too far. Now, I will openly confess to you that I would want Lamar Jackson over Aaron Rodgers, but it's primarily due to the fact that longevity is on his side. What I see Aaron Rodgers potentially doing next season, or dare I say the year after, I see Lamar having the potential to do over the next decade. So because of that, or at least the next half decade, that's the difference. Outside of that, don't give me that Lamar Jackson is better than Aaron Rodgers. You went too damn far. Now, Lamar Jackson is a mercurial talent. running out of the running from the quarterback position. We've never seen anybody like him. We saw you because in the open field, I mean, you were just electrifying and you were going to skate past everybody. But in terms of elusivity, there is no question that Lamar Jackson is one of a kind. We've never seen that from the quarterback position. We've seen plenty of people who can throw the football better. Now, that's not to say he hasn't improved. That's not to say he hasn't been better. We get all of that. He's improved vastly as a quarterback, particularly right. from the pocket. He deserves to be given credit for that. I saw your list earlier on GetUp. I wouldn't put him top three, but I'd put him top five. I'd put Joe Burrow ahead of him, to be quite honest with you, because we know that Joe Burrow can fling that football. And Joe Burrow, in his first two seasons of complete health, because he got hurt the first year, we understand right. it. In his first two seasons of complete health, Joe Burrow has went to the Super Bowl, and he's went to the AFC Championship game. Lamar Jackson had one playoff victory, and that's before he missed the last five games of the last two seasons. So we got to take that in consideration. I don't know if we could definitively put somebody like Joe Burrow behind Lamar Jackson. You got to put him ahead of Lamar Jackson. We know what Lamar Jackson can do, how mercurial he is. But when we're talking about Aaron Rodgers, what we're complaining about is attitude, commitment, a willingness, and an ability to galvanize the troops. But in terms of pure football talent from the quarterback position, outside of running the football, there is nothing that Lamar Jackson can do better than Aaron Rodgers from the quarterback position. You know it. Doggy knows it. Everybody knows it. You just would take Lamar Jackson if you're thinking about the marathon. If you're talking about the sprint, figuratively speaking, of course, meaning this upcoming season, especially when you consider what limitations the Jets have. Breece Hall can run the football, but he's coming off an injury. Garrett Wilson can catch the football. We know he's special. We don't know about Elijah Moore. We don't know about Corey Davis. Now you got Alan Lazard there. He's never had a 1,000-yard receiving season, even with Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. But we understand throwing the football and knowing up here what to do. There's only one, and that's Aaron Rodgers. So stop that, RG.
Well, Stephen A., let me be specific here. I'm not saying that Lamar Jackson is a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers over the longevity of their careers. What I'm saying is the quarterback position has changed the way they play the game now. It's okay. not just about throwing from the pocket. So when you take into account what Lamar Jackson does with his legs, along with his ability to be a premier passer in this league, which he has proven he can be, and he did it for an entire season when he was unanimous MVP. Now, I know everyone will say, hey, that was a long time ago, but early last year, he was also came out the gates hot. But obviously, he got hurt, missed the remaining of the season.
Let me throw something at you. I got a question.
Go ahead.
I get what you're saying in terms of what Lamar Jackson has shown he's capable of because Correct. Of what he's delivered throwing the football in pockets. But I'm not even talking about the longevity of their careers. I'm talking about, listen, just watching the game, knowing the game the way that you do, as a pure passer of the football, are you even putting him in the same stratosphere as Aaron Rodgers?
Stephen A., no, I'm not putting Lamar Jackson right now in the same stratosphere as Aaron Rodgers. As
you talk about next season.
He's a bad man, right?
Yeah,
he's a bad man. He's a pure passer of the football. Lamar can get there. He's not there yet, and Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest to ever do it and has been doing it for an extremely long time. But the question I'd ask you is, when you make an investment, right, you made an investment on that collar, so you wore it, right? You want a return on that investment, right?
Yeah.
With the Jets, if you're making an investment into Aaron Rodgers, whether it's a first-round pick or it's some type of draft capital, you want that return to be elongated. With Lamar Jackson, it's elongated, and he gives you the same opportunity this year to win a Super Bowl that I believe Aaron Rodgers would.
Let me answer your question, because in your eloquence and your brilliance, you're also showing your youth. The fact of the matter is that the New York Jets haven't won a Super Bowl nor even been to a Super Bowl since 1968. The hell with the long haul. The hell with the return on the investment down the line. You're looking for something immediate because that's how desperate you are. They've been to four conference championship games since that time. The last one was in 2010. Do you know when the last time they even played a playoff game? 2010. They ain't been in the postseason in 13 years. 13 years. You know, my hairline was 2 feet forward at that time. He's close to it. The point that I'm trying to make to you, RG, is that desperate times call for desperate measures.
Yeah.
So when you talk, if you talk about the return on the investment, and you're telling me we got 4 or 5 years down the road, absolutely Lamar Jackson. You talk yep. about right now and what results you need for the immediate moment, who you going to bet on? You bet on Aaron Rodgers. Doug is right.
Yeah, and I don't think the Jets are going to have to give up a first-round pick.
They shouldn't.
Because where's Green Bay going to go with them? They got nowhere to go.
They should.
He's got a quarterback. He can't go back there. Give him a second-round pick.
Hey, Dougie.
Give that first-round pick.
Hey, Dougie and RG, let me ask y'all this question. Can somebody tell, because I asked the same guys as Keyshawn earlier this week. I asked Swaggoo and Olasky this. I asked the both of you guys. The Chicago Bears gave up the number one pick. The Carolina Panthers gave them two first-round picks. Two second-round picks, and a player in DJ Moore for a number one overall pick, we yep. hope, will be the quality of Aaron Rodgers right. someday. If you can do that for the first round, for the first overall pick, why the hell can't you give up a one first-round pick for Aaron Rodgers? What's wrong with that?
Well, the reason you don't do that is because the Panthers gave up all that to move up because they're building for the future. They're doing exactly what I'm saying. You're proving my point. They're trying to get that return on the investment for 5 to 10 years for a player they hope for a
yeah.
player that they hope will be good. If you're the Jets, why wouldn't you make the same type of two first round picks commitment to Lamar Jackson for a player that is proven?
No, I'm not questioning
he's
that. No, I'm not questioning that. I would give up that for Lamar Jackson. What
correct.
I'm saying is, if Aaron Rodgers is who you're targeting, and the right. holdup is you trying to hold on to the 13th overall pick, get that bad boy up. Give them a 13th overall pick.
Why, Steve? He's got
because you need Aaron Rodgers.
But he can't go back to Green
right,
Bay. They don't want him, and he's got no other team. Why do that?
They only gave up a third for Brett Favre many, many years ago when they made the trade.
Good
and
job.
I think that's what the compensation should be. Yeah.
Stephen A., you know about investments. You heard RG3. You made an investment on the collar, and you wore it proudly.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Time for another Mad Dog special where he tells us why he's mad. This is probably my favorite segment on the show.
And I have JJ right here. I got a ready audience for him.
He's ready.
Are you ready?
Number one, let's
go. Number one is Antoine Davis. What? Detroit Mercy? He feels cheated that he didn't get a chance to break Pistol Pete's scoring record because the 14-19 Horizon League team wasn't invited to that CBI tournament. The CBI? You wanted to play in that stupid thing so you'd have a chance to break Pistol Pete's record? Who at LSU is senior average 44 a game? 44 a game is senior at LSU with no three-point line. The kid played a million more games, and he wants to break the stupid record based on that. When you're 14-19, your season's over. Goodbye, good night, go home. You don't deserve to play any more games, so you can score 4 more points to break the great pistol. 44 a game at LSU. Sie Deutsch gesagt. That drove me crazy. This idea that I got to do some records. Records, do it the right way. The pure way. Don't fake it. CBI, uh-uh. Number one.
Well, the only thing that I would say, and the only thing that I would chime in and say about that is this. It wasn't Pete Maravich was great, but it wasn't like he was known for championships. He was known for individual exploits. So what's wrong with this kid being known for individual exploits if the person that he was chasing was known for individual exploits?
The difference is, Stevie, he didn't break the record. The only way he was going to break the record is if he played the CBI tournament and they were 14 and 19. They shouldn't have played any tournament. That's the difference. Pay attention. I said that already.
JJ?
I'm gonna co-sign Mad Dog here, because I agree with you.
Good boy!
Go 19 and 14 and get invited.
Man.
Go 19 and 14 and get invited.
Then it's different.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
Did we get
records are not meant to be charity cases.
Did we get a good boy?
I agree with that, though. 14 and 19 is not great.
JJ for me! JJ for me!
You
love it!
All right, that's one.
Stop it.
Continue.
We got a good boy.
Take a deep breath. Doggy, take a deep breath.
Ed Cooley. Now, listen, I like Ed. He did a great job at Providence. Did you know that he put his house on the market and sold it on March 3rd? The next day, Seton Hall went to Providence on senior day, beat him 82-58. And then, in the NCAA, in the Big East, they were down 58-32 first round of Connecticut before they made a nice comeback. And then he lost first round to Calipari in Kentucky. And then he leaves Providence to go to Georgetown. What? Georgetown. That plays in an NBA arena away from campus that hasn't been a factor since Iverson. I got to bring him up because he loves Iverson. Since Iverson. That's a long time ago. Not only that, it was a parallel move. He went from one team in the Big East to another team in the Big East. And I can actually make the argument that Providence is a better job. They got a better arena. The fan base is tremendous. And it's the only game in town. Georgetown has got a million things going on. Least of which is obviously the basketball team. But hold on now, Eddie. You can't sell your house on March 3rd. Get blown out the rest of the year. And then hightail it to another team in the conference. I understand coaches bounce around. I understand that you got to take care of yourself. I also understand you did a good job at Providence over the life of your contract. But that was a vet. Wasn't as bad as Raleigh with the freaking facts when he left the Knicks. But that was a very bad way to go up in Providence and Firetown. That is number two. Somebody say something.
I can't defend it. And you're right. I agree with you. I can't defend it.
Jay?
I can't defend it.
I can't defend it either.
So I'm right.
Wow.
Two for two. Holy gosh.
Okay.
Two for two.
Good boy.
May I continue?
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, continue. Okay. Go ahead. This is
I can't deal with these jersey swaps.
Oh, God.
Enough of this. Let me ask Stephen A. a question. You there, Steve? Can you see me?
I'm right here.
Okay.
I'm right here, buddy.
You think Jackie Robinson and Yogi Berra exchanged jerseys on the eve of a World Series game in 1955?
No.
This Dylan Brooks nonsense. Who won Kyrie Irving's jersey anyway? For do what? He's going to leave Dallas in a week. And Dylan Brooks, get a couple of more technical fouls to plan out loud. How many did you got? 19? Isn't he suspended?
18.
18. I don't want to do the jersey swap. Stop the finalization. This is a sporting event. Even Wilt and Russell didn't do that. Bird and Magic didn't do that. And then Isaiah and Magic kissed, and they hated it the rest of their lives when they did the NBA playoffs. I can't stand this idea of play a game and then we love each other when it's over with. Go out of the cocktail and nobody has to see you. When the game is over, my team lost. I don't want anybody being friends. Go to the locker room and noise. Number three.
All right, well, first of all, who cares? Who cares? You got, Doggy, this is where there's like a generational gap between you and me, and there's a generational gap between me and the guys swapping jerseys. But it's totally fine. It's totally fine.
You want Dylan
You shouldn't get this worked up about a jersey swap. This is where I'm concerned for you.
You know, here's
This is where I'm concerned for you.
I want you out of the show. He's better. Let me and JJ do the show every day. How's that?
Well, you know what? I mean, y'all get a better tan. We can talk about it. Here's the point that I'm trying to make to you, okay? At the end of the day, here's the reality of the situation. I mean, I'm with JJ on this, but, you know, it's not a big deal. But I will say this. Is Kyrie retiring or something? I mean, what the hell's going on? I mean, I don't understand. Don't you expect to see him again? I mean, it's not like they're going anywhere. Both I expect to be in the league for years to come. I didn't understand what the urgency of that was. I mean,
can I explain how it works? So collecting other players' jerseys has become a thing. That's like part of collecting cars or jewelry. It's just a thing. And everybody in their man cave hangs their favorite players' jerseys in the man cave. And generally speaking, you either text or have the equipment manager reach out before a game. Maybe it's in layup line. Hey, man, can I get your jersey? And a lot of times when you ask that, that jersey's already been promised to someone else. So that's why there's no urgency to it, but when you have an opportunity to get a player's jersey you want, you take advantage of it. Because you don't know the next time you play against that guy, he may have already promised it to Ja. That's how it works.
Well, yeah. I'm saying it's several jerseys, but I'm not going to be a hypocrite because I have several jerseys hanging in my basement. Jordan, Isaiah, Primetime, Deion Sanders, Kobe, Iverson, Magic, that kind of thing. Yeah, so you're right about that. I'm not going to be a hypocrite about that. All I'm saying is that they're playing now. You know, that's all I'm saying. You can do that at any time, but that's all. It's no big deal to me.
I want one jersey.
Larry Bird. Larry Bird. Larry Bird.
There you go.
Yeah.
Number 33.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Dog.
Greatest shooter of all
time. I got a little surprise for you.
Oh, you do? What do you
got? It's a number four. You weren't mad about this.
Let me hear.
How about Bruce Springsteen seats by Dog right here at the concert? Wait for it. It's coming. Wait for it. There it is. Look at you. Look how happy you are.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Look at you.
Even a dummy, a couple of cocktails, and 10 Avenue freeze out. What could go wrong with that? For crying out loud. What could go wrong with that?
Oh, man.
Say something funny.
Okay. Okay, you said gummy, so that was fun.
No, that's fun.
We're good. All right, you lost me at gummy. We're going to leave it there. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, our most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings awaits you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. I'm Molly Karam, and I hope you have a fabulous day. Thanks for listening to the pod. JJ?
Yes.
Which team is best set up for the next 5 years?
I want to start by just saying I don't think there's much to read into Jaylen Brown's comments. I think this is a normal response to a question about his upcoming free agency. And he's right. If he's wanted, if he feels needed, if the Celtics give him the bag, I would expect him to re-sign with the Celtics. Boston is one of the teams that is set up really well. Assuming Jaylen Brown is around over the next 5 years, this is a team that's set up really well. They have one of the most dynamic duos in the NBA, two great two-way wings that can create their own shot, tons of shooting on the roster. I think there's two teams that really stand out to me. Number one is Oklahoma City. And it's interesting because at the beginning of the year, ESPN did their power rankings, their future power rankings over the next 5 years. Oklahoma City was 23rd. Mm. But what has happened this year? Shea took another jump. Josh Giddey has improved. Jalen Williams looks like a future star and is making a late push for Rookie of the Year. And I think when you talk about the future of teams, which teams over the next 5 years, you don't just look at the players. You look at the front office, you look at ownership, and you look at the coaching staff. And for me, Oklahoma City has a great coach, a great front office. You have to factor that in. The other team, I might have had this team one, to be honest with you, a couple months ago. But the other team for me is the Memphis Grizzlies. They already have an all-NBA guard in Ja Morant. They have one of the greatest shooters in the NBA right now who also plays good defense in Desmond Bain. They have a unicorn in Jaren Jackson Jr., a guy that can guard multiple positions, defend the rim, and make threes. Taylor Jenkins is one of the best coaches in the NBA. And Zach Kleiman, one of the most underrated GMs. They also have their draft capital going forward. Those two teams, to me, seem like, and look, we can talk about Jokic in Denver and Boston and Cleveland's young core, but those two teams seem like the two best positioned teams over the next 5 years.
Well, I don't disagree with you on much. Let me first say, piggybacking off, I'll start off my comments with about Jaylen Brown just the way that you did. From the standpoint that I don't think it's that big of a deal, but I would say keep my eyes on it because, remember, there was noise that the Brooklyn Nets were potentially interested in him and that Boston may have been interested in moving him to get Kevin Durant. We don't know if there's any residue of animosity or anything stemming from that. We've also heard that Jason Tatum, clearly the number one guy, the star of the team, even though Jaylen Brown is right there. We've heard noise about as to whether or not that's something that Jaylen Brown will want to continue to be a part of in the future. I have no idea whether that's true or not, but it is stuff that has been said in NBA circles, and sometimes that leads to movement taking place. So we got to keep our eyes on that, and we can't rule out. It might not be a big deal at all, or may very well end up being a bigger deal than we all suspected. That's all I have to say about that. As it pertains to over the next 5 years, Oklahoma City is definitely in the mix. Remember, they don't even have Chet Holmgren on the court yet. He got injured. He'll be back. Then you look at Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
That's an oversight on my part. Thank you, Stephen. You saved me there.
No one's perfect. You're all right. It's okay. All right, so we got Oklahoma City. We got that going on. I'm definitely going to agree with you about Boston. I'm definitely going to agree with you about Memphis. But I'm not throwing Denver out of the mix. Jokic is only 27. Jamal Murray is only 25. Aaron Gordon is 27 years of age. When you look at their squad, Michael Porter Jr. is 24 years of age. Mike Malone is one hell of a coach. Organizationally, we've seen what they've done. They're a pretty damn good organization as well. And so you take all of those things into consideration, and you have, and you're led by the reigning two-time league MVP, who isn't even scratching 30 years of age yet, and he's one of the elders on the squad, I definitely believe that Denver has to be in the mix as it pertains to one of those teams to look at over the next 5 years.
Hey.
They've got to be thrown in there.
And I agree with you on that, and I think you could make an argument that Denver probably is as well-positioned as any team. They could be the most well-positioned team over the next 5 years. I totally agree with you, Stephen A.
JJ, I haven't been paying attention. How's Duke doing in the tourney?
Wow. Why? I don't understand. I came on the show today. I handed out compliments to Stephen A. I handed out 3 compliments to Mad Dog. And now I'm catching strays.
JJ,
Molly. From Molly.
Vacation next week.
Welcome to
her
first take.
You get a
That's
full
what she
week
does.
Break from me.
That's what she does.